I'm so glad you're here.
Mourning and Missing was intended as two separate topics and episodes in season two. As I sat with guests, I came to see I could not discuss the process of mourning without also acknowledging what can be missing in our lives. This episode has mentions of death, substance abuse, parental estrangement, and at times the difficult conversation of loss and death, and sometimes sudden death. I mention this so that you can decide for yourself if you should consume this content. Be well and take care of yourself.
So yeah, you just talked to me about loss and grief and asked me if that was triggering, and I was like, no, it's kind of the opposite. Yeah, when I think about those two words, loss and grief, regarding my mom, who died 23 years ago, when I was 20 years old, she was in a bad way, and so that loss was, like, it's one of those blessing in disguises kind of thing, where it was, she was really unwell and she was suffering and we all knew it, and she wouldn't help herself, so we couldn't help her. So she is better off.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the idea that I focused on going forward from there. Without really thinking about how, like, the loss really affected me. Like, I was just thinking about, oh, it's better off, like, whatever, it's just a better situation now because she's not here anymore. And at the time, I was only 20 years old, so I didn't really think about it. I had life plans, right? Like, I was going to school, I was, like, just being a kid and living my life, and... And so then the grief part of it, I don't think I ever really let myself grieve too much because of the age I was and because of where I was in my life. Like, right after my mom died, I graduated college, and the next semester I moved cities, which is where I met you.
That's right. I didn't realize that those things all happened so closely together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mom died when I was 20. Her birthday's in March. She died in April. Mother's Day is in May. So March, April, May is shit.
Yeah, I feel that for different years, different reasons. Yeah.
So I graduated school in April, May, end of May, college, end of May. All my teachers were very understanding about it. And then it was journalism, and so I was going into photography, and so that was the plan. So I just stuck with the plan and felt terrible about leaving my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, obviously, how I learned how to grieve came from him. I think we both did it the same way. We just kind of, like, she's better off, we're better off, just move forward, and didn't dwell. I never talked about it with my dad, really. And I've never gone to see a therapist about it, so I've not processed. And I know that. I don't know if I ever will. I don't know if I'll ever get to that point where I'm okay with making myself vulnerable enough to talk to somebody. Like, I can talk about it with people, but I never expect anyone to try and help me with it. Because that's not fair for anyone.
Do you think it is something that you feel like you need help with still? Like, I mean, it's been two decades.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Yeah, for sure.
Because I'm wondering, like, I remember when I was in grade school, in actually grade 8, two of my classmates experienced loss. So one of them lost one of their parents very suddenly, and the other one lost a grandparent in a prolonged illness. And the teacher allowed them space to sit in front of the rest of us and say, this is what's happening to us, and it sucks. And, like, we all talked about it because everyone in the room had experienced
some sort of grief, but no one had given us space to talk about it.
Right.
But one of the things I did take away from it was that there's sudden grief, and then there's that grief that, like, once they're gone, you've kind of already grieved and mourned.
Yeah.
Because you know what's going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Yeah.
And, oh, you do your best to make them comfortable and make the best of the time you have with them. So you think in some way there wasn't much for you and your dad to talk about because...
Well,
you'd both already grieved for so long. I mean, that's it's a little simplistic. Obviously,
yeah.
There's still some things to work out. Do you think?
Yeah, everything you just said does apply to a certain extent because my mom did die suddenly. She was sick with an illness that was chronic, but not necessarily fatally so. So, but she made it worse because she had her dependency issues and she died of a drug overdose. I think that she had also been drinking the night before, which is why it all began in the first place, right? Like she was an alcoholic and then tried to quit the booze and then became addicted to the painkillers that the doctors gave her because of the pancreatitis that she contracted because of the drink. Anyways.
Wowzers, yeah. It was just a lot of things.
A whole big long thing.
Yeah.
And that was occurring for like the last decade of her life. So when you talk about, yes, my dad and my brother and I had that time to grieve the loss of a mother figure in our lives because she was not a mother figure at all.
She was there.
She was there sitting in her bedroom the whole time and not really contributing at all to the family.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we definitely had a long time to grieve over that loss, but the actual person, that was a very sudden thing. So, yeah, what you say applies to a certain extent for sure.
So I just wanted to first thank you for being a part of this conversation. Yes. I know it's not easy to talk about grief and mourning, and I think, and I said this in speaking with one of my other guests, that I find North Americans have really poor coping skills for dealing with grief and loss.
Yeah.
And I, and in talking to you, we're gonna move a little bit away from the physical loss of someone who's passed on and just talk about the loss of certain relationships in our lives and the pain that comes with that. And I think for people who go through some sort of estrangement or distance with a family member, that can have its own mourning, which is hard to articulate. So without telling too much of your story, welcome and thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
where do you want to start with your story of mourning and grief?
Yeah, so of course, mourning and grief is something that at one point or another we all experience, and it's very hard to comprehend, whether that be physical mourning. Well, I guess if somebody's absent, then they're also physically absent. But you can mourn the loss of people in different ways. And I myself, of course, I've lost people close to me by death, but one significant relationship loss that I've experienced is with my father. And I grew up in a family where he was very much present, and up until about the age of 16, he was very involved, did many things for me and my brother, and I felt as though we were his world. And when my parents separated, the switch kind of just flicked, and we did a 180. And unfortunately, he just up and left, and I never understood really why. And so I wasn't very young. I was 16, turning 17. But even that shift in, you know, a relationship change was like so drastic that I didn't really know what to do or how to cope, as you mentioned, right? It's something that I had to learn over time to cope with. And for me, it was really difficult, you know, having people, you know, leave my life by death, and then have my dad leave this way, because I had to kind of come to terms with the fact that he left by choice. Whereas, you know, of course, you know, the death of somebody is very, it's heartbreaking. And it's really hard to come to terms with. I also had to come to terms with the fact that he chose to leave. And, you know, that was very difficult. My brother was 12 at the time. So for him as well, I can imagine, you know, he's still grappling with it. And he, you know, I've gotten to the point where I've realized, okay, he's probably not coming back. Like, we're never gonna have him involved in our lives the way that he had been previously. And I guess in many ways, we don't necessarily need him to be, right?
Kind of forced you and your sibling into your own resilience, right? I'm just going to ask maybe a question. So when your parents decided to part, mm-hmm. and you, I'm assuming you and your sibling stayed with your mother, like she retained custody. Mm-hmm. And so was there any kind of visitation schedule with your dad, or he just kind of like, he moved out and that was it? Or was like a petering off, like a slow kind of disappearing act?
Well, he went and lived with my grandparents, so his parents. And I was very close with my grandparents, but he never wanted to spend time with us. He would always be out of their house, like, so he would never be home when we would go and visit. So, and then he ended up in a relationship with somebody who lives about an hour away, and so started going there very often. And, I mean, it was pretty drastic. Like, it was kind of like a chop rather than a gradual, you know.
And a gradual fade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think, I mean, I'm assuming your dad is the younger end of baby boomers?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, and I'm not defending his behavior at all, but in the same way that women of that age demographic have struggled with, and this is just something I think from watching my friends who have baby boomer parents and their parents going through divorces, that a lot of baby boomer parents didn't have the coping skills, or like it was like society told them they could have everything. And this is like a statement I say about women. Society told the women they could have everything, but we didn't actually live in a society that supported that. And I'm just wondering if when your dad and your mother and their relationship deteriorated, if your father just felt like such a failure and was so embarrassed, he actually just didn't know how to navigate in the
it's
world.
It's very possible.
You know? Yeah. So like, how old were your parents when they got married?
They were 21.
So they were pretty young, right? And then, so 15 years later, he's still in his 30s, where he probably watched his parents have a healthy monogamous relationship their whole lives, right? So he's had this standard, and then he failed at it.
Yeah, for sure. I do feel like there could be some of that as well, right? Some like, shame, like maybe
for
he
sure
feels
that
ashamed, right? But I, you know, I don't think the answer is, I mean, of course, and I'm sure you'd agree, I don't think the answer is to withdraw completely. That's not healthy. And you're also kind of putting issues onto your children that way, right? Like, you're causing more havoc in their minds and like making them wonder why all of a sudden am I not good enough? Why am I all of a sudden no longer loved? What happened? You know?
Yeah. So with those kinds of statements, do you feel that those are things you've had to address with yourself? To say,
oh, absolutely.
Like,
yeah, absolutely. I've gone through a period of my life where I indulged in self-harm because I felt hatred for myself.
I'm so sorry.
And thank you for, you know, showing compassion to that. It's it was difficult, right? But it's something, again, a lot of people experience for different reasons, right? Like, there's many things that might cause that.
Sorry, I dropped my pen. I'm gonna take yours now.
No problem. Yeah, and it is definitely something that I've had to, again, learn how to cope with, because mourning the loss of such an important figurehead in your life, where you've had it your entire life, you think your life is stable and secure, and that your parents have you and you're fine, right? Turns out to be not true.
When people ask me why I do this podcast, I always come back to the story that becoming a mother was actually, so there was like some trauma, some things that happened in my own family where I became estranged from a parent shortly after I gave birth to my son. So for me, motherhood was just this really lonely experience. And I remember thinking, like, if I've had the life that I've had, and I feel alone in my experiences sometimes, there's got to be a lot of other women who are feeling this. And two, I think that some of the things women deal with are also like really taboo. Like, that subject of being estranged from our parents is, or a family member, I've had people say, oh, you need to fix that, you're going to regret it. And, you know, I find that a really uninformed comment, because, you know, I don't think that children come to this decision easily. And I remember thinking, well, if I struggle to talk about my abandonment and estrangement from both parents at some point in my life, what is it like when these people die and they pass? I have a girlfriend who is older, who had a very difficult relationship with her own mother, and I have so much respect for how she walked her mother to the end of her life. Mm-hmm. She had a lot of grace, and she took a lot of care for this person that she knew didn't love her, didn't care about her. And it took kind of years. So I think these are just stories that we all need to share, because I feel like I know a lot of people who have these estrangements and we're not talking about it, so thank you. Part of my difficulty in coming to recording this was that I lost a friend really suddenly almost a year ago, and she lives in Australia, and she was actually supposed to come visit me last July, and we pushed the trip off by a year, and then she died in a pretty horrific head-on collision. So I've been sitting with trying to mourn and grieve someone who I had a relationship with. Our children were only a couple months apart, we'd been housemates when I had lived here, and all of a sudden she's just gone from my life, and it's been hard to process. And then recently I lost a colleague a few months ago, which is, I think, this like different type of mourning as well that I'm trying to reconcile with. And I haven't even gotten to the parental grief, like that's not, and I know that one day it's gonna come, and I have no idea how I'm gonna handle it. So with that, I want to maybe open the space for you to kind of talk about maybe your upbringing a little bit, and kind of the what your relationship was with your estranged parent.
I mean, it's interesting how you think about like how that's all gonna end. So in the story that I sent you, my sister and I had two different childhoods, right? So we're 12 years apart, and she grew up with the alcoholic, the real deal, the alcoholic version of my dad. He was abusive, he was drinking. It was a tough childhood for her. I grew up with a different version. When I came in, my dad was told that if he didn't kind of make some changes, then he wouldn't watch me grow. So he changed.
And sorry, was that an ultimatum that your mother gave him?
It was a doctor
said, straighten up or you're done.
Okay. Yeah, like your liver is not going to be able to handle this. You're not gonna watch her. You're not gonna see her grow. So it switched something, and he was able to stop the drink, but without addressing the root issue. That just kind of carried over into a gambling addiction, which is the dad that I knew. So both of us had this experience of growing up with a dad who was struggling with addiction. So we know what that looks like from different angles. He was more present in my life. So I think, you know, the estrangement for me registered a little bit differently for her. I think she had an easier time kind of making a break and accepting that distance. For me, it was a little bit more confusing because we did have a bit of a relationship. He was present in my life. He took me to concerts and shows and so he was there and available, just struggling.
Yeah.
Right? So that never, you know, you go through AA to kind of deal with the habits, right?
Yeah.
So it's something that I kind of like, I'm still kind of even, I feel like there's something in me that's even still processing my life through the lens of an addict, because I feel like even though I've not struggled with addiction, I've observed it, and I can look at my life through the lens of an addict and start to examine, you know, what are my, you know, what's my relationship to coffee? What's on this sort of level, right?
Yeah.
Like what is your relationship to dependence? Right, so
exhausting conversations with your own brain sometimes,
with,
and
yeah,
yourself, right? And then depending on what it is, you can also put yourself in this like shame cycle. So
yeah,
you just get stuck at this like,
yeah,
like, oh, I'm using this thing, but now I have shame about it. But now I'm using it because,
yeah,
I have shame, and
yeah,
it's so easy to slip into it when you've been raised in that into that space,
yeah,
of seeing it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But it helps you sort of build a little bit of compassion for this person, because you know you're mad at them in one respect, but then you kind of you develop this compassion for them where you understand how hard it is to actually be healthy, right? In a culture that we're living in that kind of, you know, is designed to make you dependent on things, and that's like, that's all kinds of stuff. Right?
It's like we're set up to fail.
Yeah.
You know? Here's some free will. Good luck.
So I know that's what it is.
Yeah.
And you know, our relationship, you know, it sort of, the distance, the estrangement really happened when my parents' relationship didn't work out, and it, you know, the gambling and other issues were sort of the catalyst for all this, and they ended up divorcing, at that point I had left, like I was in university and I was sort of staying with my cousin and moving on towards being an adult, so I was out of the house, so they had their break there, and my dad couldn't handle it. He just didn't have the tools.
Yeah.
Like he couldn't wrap his head around, you know, why we were still talking to my mother, and you know, in his mind we had made a choice, right? We chose one parent over the other.
Yeah.
He couldn't appreciate that, you know,
we can choose both.
Yeah. And that's the balance that we were trying to do. So moved into retreat and, you know, started the process of kind of distancing himself from us because that was just easier for him. So we lost contact, and I kept my number the same for years. Like he just gradually became more and more distant, and I couldn't, you know, less available, less, he would change his number and not really tell us, and you know, all these things, he would just become more and more difficult to get a hold of, and I kept my number the same just in the hope that one day he would call. And you know, it was 7 years going on like that, just kind of waiting, wondering, anticipating what would that look like if he died and we didn't reconnect, and but maybe he will. So I got the call one day from my sister, that he had passed, and it didn't really register right away. Like it was just kind of a numb experience. You almost kind of go through this, like, cause you're spending your whole life while you're at a distance, you're spending your whole time kind of grieving that relationship, right?
Yes.
So it puts you in an interesting place. When you finally find out that they're gone, right? It takes a little bit more time, I think, to kind of, because it's not, you don't get that experience of like well, I mean, not that it's a good experience either way, but you don't get that experience of just not suddenly not seeing them
that
there.
Physical void, right? Of like, you're not there. And I think too, that's why some of when we lose people in this manner, it's hard because they physically weren't in your life anyway, but they took up space either in your mind or
yeah.
your heart or, you know, with social media, and then they're just gone. Like, it's just a weird part of
yeah.
grief to navigate. I get that
so
feeling now.
It was very weird, and I carried on. I went to work like nothing happened. Like, I hung up. I was like, okay, well, this is how it ends. Like, I just had it was a very weird reaction, right? Like, that just was not, like, I just didn't understand what was happening, right? Like, I wasn't processing, you know, the death or like, it was just, okay.
This is where we are now.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there was, not a weight, but kind of a piece of expectation or tension that you had been holding on, waiting for that phone call that was just kind of, okay, well, now that's just gone. Like, not, I want to say a weight lifted off, but, you know, in that same way when we hold on to a dream or something
yeah.
for a really long time.
There was, like, I will note that there was a sense of relief. Almost for him, because I think I had an appreciation of how hard, you know, and it's kind of fucked up. Like, you kind of appreciate how hard that must be for that person to be in that mind frame,
yeah.
and how much of a struggle that must be. So I had this kind of relief almost for him that he's not going through that anymore, that he can just, you know, not...
He's released
from whatever
this,
hold
yeah,
that,
suffering.
That has had
yeah.
on him, right? Like, because it is an illness, right? Like, it's a psychological, very, you know, painful illness,
yeah.
really. And it keeps you trapped. And
so the next person I'm speaking with for the morning podcast is someone that I've feel like I've known for a decade in some ways, but until today I don't think we've ever actually spoken, but we do share sadly a shared loss of a friend who passed away really suddenly last year. But for me, the loss was a bit delayed in terms of how I found out, and then because I hadn't actually physically seen them in almost a decade, it was just strange for them to be gone, where I know it was a little bit different for you. And so I just want to say, first and foremost, I appreciate you coming today to talk to me. I know that we've come up on the 1 year anniversary. Actually, when I booked you to talk tonight, I didn't realize how close it was to the anniversary. But I feel like I've been able to look forward to our conversation as a way to also share my grief, because for most of the past year, I've been alone in it because no one knew her. And I just want to mention, one of the things that brought us together was that you reached out to me because you had created a space for a few people to come together. And I feel like partially you did that because some of us were so far apart. And so thank you for doing that. I think one of the things that allowed me to do finally was to actually mourn her and to say, okay, she's gone. And I'm able to I was able to celebrate her and see how other people celebrated her and really find some closure this week. I feel like I heard her laughing a few times this week, to be honest. I don't know about you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for inviting me into your circle to share and to share this experience of grief with you too. It's been a really life-changing event for me. It's the first big loss of someone very, very close to me that I had. And it's been a process, and I think there's a lot of value in sharing how I've been through this and reflect on how it was for you too. And so thank you for having me here and connecting across the world as well with all of your circle. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, it's evening for me and it's morning for you. So, and I think for me, summer is ending and winter is ending. Sorry, summer is ending, winter is coming, and you have the opposite. Summer is coming.
Yes, second day of spring for us. So, yes,
yeah.
New beginnings. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you want to talk a little bit about, you know, your grieving, kind of your grief and mourning process, or maybe what that's been like for you in the last year to lose someone who literally one day we all, you know, all saw on Facebook, and then the next day they were just in many other people's cases, they were just gone the next day.
Yeah. And it happens to so many people. And thank you. Yes. And for me, so our friend lived 50 minutes away up the road, mm-hmm. and I've been friends with her for probably 15 to 20 years. She was like a little sister, is how we talked about each other as sisters. She was my bridesmaid in my wedding, and I was one of her only two guests invited to her very intimate wedding ceremony last year. So, yeah, we were just so close and lived close by. So when we lost her, it was very sudden, and this would probably be the big difference. When you're located so far away and the news doesn't travel so smoothly, you're probably feeling something just as profound but different. And we lost her on the 29th of August, and I had a phone call or a message that afternoon from one of her close family members to say, can you talk? And I knew it was bad because I hadn't heard from that person before, and told me the news that she'd been killed very quickly in an accident, and that her young daughter was badly injured. And I'm sharing this information because I think, you know, a lot of people will be able to relate to just all the things that happen all of a sudden, and how that point in time changes everything.
Yeah.
And when I received that call, I was actually in the middle of work trying to figure out how I was going to do this really complex thing that was so important. I was so stressed about it. I'd been stressing about this project for about a year. And I heard the news, everything like that just vaporized. All those things that I'd worried about, thinking about at work and thinking about how am I going to do this tonight and how I'm going to fit all these things in this week, just vanished into thin air. And I felt that none of those things are real. And it was just this, I look back on that moment now and the minutes that passed and the days after that and realize that, you know, that was pure humanity. You know, that I could hear the fridge ticking and everything else was silent. Nothing had changed, but everything had.
Yeah.
I was alone in my house when I received the call. So I think a good thing I did was I reached out to, first of all, my manager at work and just said, this is terrible, things just happened. I don't know what to do. She told me who to call. And so I called my husband and he came straight home. But I had about half an hour of sitting at home. My brain was trying to process that, no, this must be wrong. It's got to be a misunderstanding. But then why would someone tell me this if it wasn't true? And my brain was trying to say, no, surely it can't be true. And it was just this incredible moment of living and processing all this huge information and realizing that all the other stuff that you worry about in life, it's not real. I think those moments were a life-changing moment for me because I've really, really changed my perspective on a lot of things. And in the weeks and months that ensued after that, I've really look at life very differently now. And I do recall the day before she'd been out I saw some photos on Facebook and she'd been doing some wonderful things with her daughter and she wasn't in any of the photos. And I thought to myself, I should give her a call, see how she's doing, because she's not in these photos. I just got a vibe, you know, that I should call her and check in on her. And I thought, oh, no, I'll call her later in the week. And, oh, my goodness, you know, all those missed opportunities. And I think I really had to struggle. I really struggled, and I still do with those sorts of things that I could have and should have done. And, you know, I'm trying to find compassion there. But that's how the the moment was for me. And then in the months that have passed since then, I've done a lot of different things to work through my grief and my loss. Yeah.
And it's hard. I think, like, first, I want to say a lot of gratitude to your manager who just said, go do XYZ, call this person. I'm assuming that they just took over the work and said, don't worry about it. Go do what you have to do. But they were able to support you in that moment, because sometimes we just need someone to give us a little checklist of, like, go do this. It'll be eventually okay. I think for me, I had sent her a message. Well, I had seen a message from her partner on her social media, and because of when I had checked, I thought it was close to, like, it was like an I love you, you're such a great partner post. And I didn't hear from her for a few weeks, which was normal for her and I because of the time difference. And then I went back. I just got this feeling. I went back to her social media and I read deeper. And I remember it was cold out. I was in a park, and just the shock of, like, oh my gosh, you know, she was supposed to come and visit me 2 months ago. We put it off by a year just because of life and the pandemic. And, you know, we thought we had all the time in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just gone. So it was, I think that part was hard for me. And since then, I've had another sudden loss with a coworker, actually. And it's a weird void, right? To just, all of a sudden, there's these people who are in your life constantly that are now just gone. And it's a strange kind of separation.
I think for me, my brain, it's getting there. It's been a year but my brain could not process that.
Mm-hmm.
It just was trying to find a way to rationalize that. And I think experience with grief and loss, and, you know, and we don't talk about it. We don't prepare our children for it. And something I will share, I have a 7-year-old, and I didn't tell him for a week because my emotions were so raw, and I was, you know, big, ugly crying would just come out of me, and I didn't want to frighten him. So, and I didn't know what to say, and I was still dealing with it. And I told him on the Saturday, because I wanted to tell him on the day when we'd have a bit of time and he could ask questions. I didn't have to rush him off to school, or he'd come home tired. And I said to him, oh, you know, my friend, and this is what happened. And he looked at me, and he looked at me with the deepest concern. It's a 7-year-old boy. And he said, when did this happen? And I said, 7 days ago. And he said, why didn't you tell me? And I've never hesitated to tell him anything since then, because I feel like that will just empower him in the future and will give him life's tools, you know. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I've got so many things I've learned from losing our friend that I'm so grateful to her for. Many of the things she's taught me in losing her has been such a gift, is the way I try to see it anyway.
Yeah. And they were such a gift just in general.
Yes.
Like everyone who met her left away changed in some way, or inspired by, you know, this magical energy that she had that was so infectious. Oh my gosh.
Yes, I think that's how the Facebook group started up, because to remember and celebrate her, because she touched the lives of so many people that are spread around the world, because she really was a vibrant, energetic person who really, she never said should or could or would. She would, like, say, I want to become a beekeeper, so she did. And I want a horse, so she did. And I want to live in the bush, so she did. And everything she said, she just followed her instinct so well, and I think really attracted so many people to her, good people. And in grief, I have this weird, and many people will relate to this, I'm sure. So she was so close to me, but not actual family, that I don't fit into the family. I don't have a legal place in her world, and I don't have a framework for where I can, you know, fit in and support, and particularly to help her family moving forward. And
yeah.
So I created this, I feel very alone in my grief and no one else understood it except for the other people who knew her. So whilst her family and partner were dealing with their own loss, you know, I tried to help and I tried to support that, but it just, I didn't have a place in it. So I created this group so that we could all share and lean on each other, and knowing that the 1 year anniversary was coming up and people really hadn't come together yet. There hasn't been, because of the way it was an accident, and there's just been so much, that's a whole other conversation. Processing of that.
Yeah. So, the pandemic changed how we gather too, right? Like that.
Yeah.
It's made it a lot harder.
Yes. And I think there hasn't been a memorial yet, which is bizarre. And it is bizarre to a lot of people. And I've been dealing with my own complex feelings and anger and frustration and all that comes up. And I'm trying to move forward with compassion and forgiveness and just understanding that everybody, we're all doing our best. Mm-hmm. There's things I would have done and should have done and could have done. But anyway, I created this Facebook group so that we could at least in the interim connect together and be together. And also knowing that she'd be so happy knowing that we're all chatting and all her favorite people are all becoming friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. That was really nice for me. Like, I am now contemplating, like, for my next big trip, do I save up and like take my son, you know, to Australia and, you know, reconnect with the friends that I do have there and, you know, with yourself and, you know, hopefully, like, I feel like I made friends just from this shared experience with everyone, which I really didn't expect. Mm-hmm. And it was really lovely to see people saying, you know, I'm not a big speaker, or, you know, I only met her this one time doing this one thing in a different part of the world, but here's how she changed me. And this is what I remembered. And, you know, it's not to say she wasn't without her own struggles, but I feel like she was very self-aware and pushed herself, you know, because of those struggles, right? That she just had a passion for life that came also from her darker corners at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
This episode has been hard for me to record. I didn't realize when I embarked on season 2 that the final 2 episodes of Mourning and Missing would rock me fairly hard. I've lost a lot in the last year and in different ways. I lost a dear and longtime friend to a sudden death in a meaningless accident. I lost coworkers suddenly, unexpectedly, months apart. I lost relationships and friendships to mental illness, to holding my boundaries, and to drugs and other addictions. All these griefs, all of these feelings and experiences have been overwhelming and discombobulating. There has been joy and laughter too. I appreciate so much the people that have shared with me their experiences of mourning, of grief, and of the people that are missing from their lives. There are scars on our heart from the imprints that some pain leaves. I'm not sure I know how to heal or move on from some of these things right now because they're just so big and overwhelming. I do know that my best course of action is to do my best, to keep my heart open, and to advance. But it is also to settle into the sanctuary that resides inside me, to feel the uncomfortable feelings. All these feelings are going to rise, and eventually, yeah, they'll pass, and love and joy will take their place. Those holes that each of us hold for the ones that we've lost, they'll eventually heal. Take care of yourself, my friends. Love the people that you're with. Find joy, practice gratitude, and remember to give what you can when you can. Be well, and if you need help, please reach out and tell someone. Someone will reach back, but sometimes we have to reach beyond our comfort zone to get there. I love you. Thank you for listening.
Cool. Love you all. Thank you.
Love you.
As Bye. Grandma said, love you and leave you.
Wonderful.
That's hilarious.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.